What's going on, y'all? This is Brandon Tatum, hosting, standing in the gap for Charlie Kirk on The Charlie Kirk Show. Incredible segment. I answer all of your questions. I love doing Q&A. It's one of my favorite things. Answer questions from former law enforcement officers. We talk about the fact that people should probably be arrested for grooming these children in these schools. You don't want to miss it. There's so many things that we got into. Follow me on all of my social media platforms at theofficertatum.com. Filling in, taking the place of, I keep saying filling in, but I'm taking the place of Larry Elder. It's an amazing accomplishment. The Officer Tatum Show, 3 to 6, Monday through Friday. You don't want to miss it. Y'all stay tuned. I'll catch you on the next one. I'm out.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Brought to you by the Loan Experts I Trust, Andrew and Todd at Sierra Pacific Mortgage at andrewandtodd.com.
Let me jump right into, real quick, the 2,000 mule and the election thing, and then I'm going to come right to the questions. 2,000 mules, if you haven't seen it, I don't know, you must be sleeping under a rock. You need to go to Salem now and check it out. But the election, we know if you have a level of common sense, you know something wasn't right in the election. And I would argue that there was a lot of fraudulent stuff going on. I saw it with my own eyes. I know somebody personally that committed voter fraud in the state of Arizona. I know them. We caught them, reported them, and nothing has happened. They're not going to do nothing about it. Evidence. You can't get any more evidence than somebody you know personally gets caught doing voter fraud. But the thing is, and this is what I want to illustrate to you guys, because I know there's a lot of people who are disheartened by the election. They feel as if there's no integrity in the election, so they might as well give up. I'm telling you right now, you better not do that. That is the most ignorant thing I've ever heard. I hear people saying, well, if we can't ensure that election, then we don't have an election. Well, you better take your butt out there and vote anyway. We'll clear up the mess in the back end. Outvote them. Outvote them. Trump only lost, even with the stuff that they may have done in the 2020 election in Arizona, he only lost by like a few thousand votes. I mean, I think it was 10,000 or somewhere around there. I could be totally wrong. Y'all go do the numbers for yourself. It was a very small margin. It's not like he lost by 100,000, 200,000 votes. He lost by 11,000 votes. If some of y'all would have got off the couch, he would have beat them even if they cheated. Now, we are aware of some of the things that they've been doing, so we can monitor it. Many people are taking action. The sheriff in Arizona, the sheriff of the Yuma County Sheriff's Office, he had made mention that he's going to start an investigation into some of these things. If you live in a liberal state, you know, what are you worried about in the first place? I mean, it ain't enough for y'all anyway. But I do think you need to go out and turn out to vote. And if you do not do that, you are being a part of the problem. My plan is to get as many people registered to vote, get as many people out to vote, because this is the most consequential election in United States history. If we don't make a comeback, we will lose America. We will lose this country. And some of y'all are going to be fighting for your life and struggling and wishing that you would turn out to vote. Let me answer a couple of these questions. Freedom@charliekirk.com, freedom@charliekirk.com. If you want to send some questions there, I'm going to try to answer them. From Gabriel. You mentioned that transgender LGBTQ community is a community, and the fact that their concerns are a personal issue. My question is, would it be warranted to become a federal issue if they were, pursuing, or they were prosecuted or under assault in some way? The second question is, okay, now I get your question. So pretty much it's a personal issue. And I think there's a big difference between what you're asking me and what the reality is. Me saying that the people in the LGBTQ community, if they are doing things and they want to turn a gender, that's their own personal issue. That has nothing to do with somebody breaking the law against you. You know, do I think it should be a federal issue, maybe a federal crime, maybe a hate crime? I mean, that's totally fine. When I'm referring to a personal issue, I'm saying that if you want to make the decision, it's okay for you to make that decision, and other people don't have to accept that decision. Now, a hate crime is a hate crime, right? If you are attacking somebody specifically because of an orientation or because of a handicap or because of the color of their skin, then you are a complete idiot and you need to be prosecuted to the fullest degree. But that has nothing to do with me accepting whether or not you're gay or not, whether me accepting whether or not you are LGBTQ or I don't know what. They didn't go down a rabbit hole. And I'm going to say this, and I know a lot of people are going to be mad at me, but hey, blame Charlie Kirk. If you are saying that you are LG, right, lesbian, gay, okay, I get it. I see why people are, you know, I see how that can happen to somebody. But if you go to bisexual, get out of here. You just horny and freaky. I don't want to hear you say nothing about being bi, because you actually can make a decision. You just don't want to make a decision. So I don't want to hear nothing. So the rest of the alphabet to me becomes incredibly ridiculous. Now, will I ever be mad at somebody for doing that? No, I don't care. It's just my personal opinion. If I saw a person right now that was transgender, I don't care. You don't, as long as you ain't hurting me, man, live your life. You live in America. Live your best life. You know, you're going to have to deal with God on your own terms. That ain't got nothing to do with me. Just don't make me be you. Just don't make me accept something that's not biologically reality, biological reality. Don't try to go in a restroom that you don't belong in. Don't try to tell my kids and indoctrinate them about what you're going through. That's all I'm saying about that issue. But I do think that people should be protected from hate crimes, and nobody should attack somebody based on something they disagree on. The left has not gotten that concept yet. Let me get to the next question. I think this is a question. Let me see. Love you guys, but the Bible says it's best to not marry. You can serve God better, but if you can't control yourself, then marry. Well, I don't interpret it that way. I could be wrong. I think that the Bible is illustrating that if it's going to be a distraction to you, it's better for you not to get married. If God has called you to do mission work overseas, and somehow you entering to a committed relationship with a woman that is not okay with you going overseas, and you will begin to have obligations of children, can you further your mission that God has called you to do? If marriage is going to prevent you from doing that, then you need to yield or not get married. However, the Bible does articulate the church, and it compares that Christ is the head of the church and the father is the head of the household. Every single person almost outside of Jesus, well, how Jesus even got to this point is because men were involved in relationships with women in the lineage from David all the way down to the lineage of Jesus Christ. Even Mary and Joseph were married in a relationship. So I think that God is instructing us to be married. It's the best opportunity for us to be successful, to be married. But if God has called you to do something, marriage is going to distract you. It's better that you don't waste your time and not fulfill the calling that God has had on your life. Next question. it is no secret. Chicago is one of, if not the worst places in America when it comes to crime, but more specifically black on black crime. Do you have any thoughts as to why it is, if BLM wants to make sure that the world knows Black Lives Matter, what are they doing to work on that issue? Well, let me just make this very clear. BLM has no, I don't think they have any obligation. They don't have any desire to do anything for black people. It is literally a fundraising organization that threatens people and coerces them into giving money and influence so that they can push a political agenda. They're not doing nothing for black people. I have never seen, because we see children getting shot in the head in Chicago all the time in drive-by shootings. We see young men, black men, getting murdered in the streets in cold blood, mass shootings every weekend, and they don't have a single picture of not one of those people on their website. David Dorn was a police officer, a retired police officer, and got murdered trying to defend a property, and some thug murdered him, and he was on camera, and it looked worse than George Floyd, if you ask me. He didn't show up on it. Sicoria Turner, my followers raised over $300,000 for Sicoria Turner's family. And Sicoria Turner, young black girl in Atlanta, got shot in a crossfire between two idiot black men who were shooting out in the parking lot. They didn't feature her not one time. There's so many young men and so many children that have been murdered senselessly, and Black Lives Matter have not given them money. They have not mentioned them. They don't have no T-shirts. They don't have no fundraisers. But they make money on the backs of dead black men, and that's their whole M.O. Let me answer this real question real quick. I think I can do it. I'm a retired federal law enforcement officer, and I arrested people for pedophilia. Why are teachers in school districts being arrested for pedophilia? Why aren't they being arrested for pedophilia, since they are promoting teaching children as young as kindergarten about sexuality, gender, and all this? I agree with you. I agree with you, Penny. People should be arrested for, what do they call it, coercing coaching, grooming children. There's a crime in grooming children. And I believe that if a teacher is trying to convince or influence a young person about LGBT community and about homosexuality and about, you know, condoms and all this stuff in kindergarten and talking about sex and feeling your body and masturbation and stuff like that, you are effectively grooming with intent. You should go to prison. And I'm glad that in Florida, Ron DeSantis made it a thing where parents can hold these teachers accountable. I think they should do it across the country. I think that should be interjected into federal law. The funny thing is that D. Wade, the basketball player that got his kid all messed up, D. Wade admitted that his child was in a class with a teacher that was the LGBTQ, and that teacher helped his child feel comfortable coming out. Now, you ask me, that's grooming. You ask me, ironically enough, that woman was gay and his kid wants to be a woman. You know, now I'm not saying that that's the case. I'm saying that it's very suspicious to me that those things occur. But continuing on with the question that Penny wrote, it says, this person says, the professor that John Hopkins hired, child molest abuse says in the words that says that the word pedophilia should be changed to minor attracted person. Now, I have a theory, and many of you guys will understand my theory. Many of you guys may agree with me. I believe that the entire crux, the entire mission of the LGBTQ plus AAIAARP is to allow pedophilia to be normalized. Decriminalize pedophilia. Why do you say that, Brandon? That's an extreme. Look at where we are going. I remember in the 70s, homosexuality was a mental illness. And then you move forward and you say now homosexuality is widely accepted. Now the churches have to marry people who are homosexual. And then it's going to go from there. Now they want your kids to be homosexual. Now they're telling you that if you're a man and you don't want to be with a transgender woman, which is a man that is now transitioning to identifying as a woman, that you hate people. I'm telling you, it's going further and further and further. And if you don't believe this is true, and Penny had a great point here, that they're trying to change the word pedophilia to minor attractive person because they're trying to decriminalize it. They're trying to use language. Democrats do a tremendous job at using language. Planned Parenthood. There ain't nothing planning about parenthood in Planned Parenthood. It's literally planning to eliminate your parenthood. There's nothing. Black Lives Matter ain't got nothing to do with Black Lives. It literally have nothing to do with Black Lives. They use these words to make you feel a certain way. Therefore, they can push a rhetoric. Saying minor attractive persons is decriminalizing the concept of pedophilia because nobody likes a person who's a pedophile, or the word pedophilia gives you a negative connotation. And let me not say you don't like a person that's a pedophile. You don't like the actions of pedophilia and the person that did it, because I am a firm believer that God can rescue anybody and forgive anybody of any sin that they've ever done. So it's about the person, it's about the action, not the person. Love your show. I have what is probably a dumb question. I don't believe that there's a dumb question. Have heard a lot of people say that overturning Roe v. Wade. I'm gonna sum it up for you. People are often saying Roe v. Wade. If you eliminate Roe v. Wade, women are gonna be co-hanging their babies. Listen, don't be a brain dead person. Roe v. Wade is not settled law, and all it does essentially, I ain't gonna say all it does. One of the major things that it does is give the right back to the states to make decisions. Now, mind you, states already have rights. States already are making decisions that are different between state to state. Roe v. Wade has an exception. It's not settled law. And therefore, it's up to interpretation from states to be within the realm of the guidance of Roe v. Wade. And I want people to understand this. If you live in California, you're going to be able to allow the doctor to co-hanger your babies because you don't have to do it. You can just go to the doctor at 9 months and let them murder your baby for you if you live in California. But if you live in Texas, they're not going to have that. That's the way the United States of America should be. States should have rights. If you don't want to be in a state that ban abortions, well, first of all, you shouldn't be bumping and grinding, pumping and sweating if you don't plan on having a baby, or just move to a liberal state. Actually, the government is doing you a favor because they're not stopping you from killing a baby. You just have to move to the right state. I think it's all a sin.
Have you looked at how much of Russia is inside your 401k or IRA? Did you know my friends at Pax Financial Group have zero investments in Russia through their biblical investment strategy? Those companies were screened out long ago because they didn't pass the treat people right test. One of the most important tenets of the Christian faith is to love your neighbor, and this includes to love your employees. Based on Pax's biblical responsible investment strategy, a company, domestic or international, is excluded from an investment from your portfolio if it violates our innate God-given fundamental rights. So Pax Financial is wonderful. They share our values. In fact, I know people that have switched to Pax Financial from our partnership, and they speak so favorably about it. Stop using the woke money managers. Pax Financial is rooted in biblical wisdom. So if you have $150,000 or more and would like to know more about biblical responsible investing at Pax Financial Group, text CHARLIE to number 74868. That's CHARLIE at number 74868. That's CHARLIE to number 74868. So you just take out your phone, text the number 74868, and type in CHARLIE to get to know about Pax Biblical Responsible Investing. Biblical Responsible Investing Strategy. Take out your phone, text CHARLIE to 74868. They're about to manage some money for me. I really think highly of Pax Financial. Text CHARLIE to number 74868.
I want to get back to the question that Michelle asked about the Roe v. Wade issue. Let me just say this. You know, I would love to do more research and figure it out because it's very confusing to some degree. But it's not that serious. Like, I think that people should not – well, first of all, the politicians are talking about Roe v. Wade because they want to make this a political issue so they can win the midterms. They can care less about you co-hanging your babies or dying or whatever the case may be. They don't care nothing about the promiscuity. They don't care nothing about your heartache and pain, nothing about the regret after you do it. Women feeling lonely and depressed and all of the things that come with having abortions, they could care less. They want you to vote. They can care less about the people at the border. They don't care about them getting killed on the way over here, dying and getting left in the desert by coyotes, getting raped and all of the above. They couldn't care less, okay? They just want your vote. Roe v. Wade, I do not understand how a rational woman could be arguing about this at this point, or a rational man could be arguing. Many of these states giving you up to 16 weeks or something crazy. I mean, I think 16 weeks is even way too much. They're giving you plenty of time because, to be honest, a lot of people are arguing, well, what if you get raped or whatever the case may be? Well, if you ask me, I'm pretty sure you know what happened to you at least within 24 hours of you having to go and get something done about it. And so there's no mystery. It's not like you get raped and you don't know you got raped for, you know, until you're pregnant. I don't know if that's happening. Anybody that's involved in incest, a medical issue is a completely different story, and they always try to push this issue. Let me just say this. I heard Steven Crowder say this before, and I think it was a beautiful response. He said, if you talk to people who claim to be so involved in caring about the people who are raped or incest or whatever, ask them, let's eliminate all of those people and allow them to have as many abortions as they can or whatever the case may be. What about the 99%? Can you agree that all of that is wrong? Oh, and they pop a gasket. Their brains pop out, and they pass out, and they cry, and they spit and roll around on the ground all day. That's what they're going to do because they do not have a real solution to the problem. They do not have – they are not acting in good faith. As a woman, if you are to – first of all, you have to be doing the do in order to get pregnant in the first place. So, but if you are irresponsible – and you're doing that with somebody that, and I'm speaking about most of these cases. I'm not talking about if you're married and all this other stuff. I know that there's nuances to that. You definitely shouldn't be able to have an abortion by yourself if you're married. It should be a decision between you and your husband at minimum. But for everybody else, there's different options. You know, if you get pregnant, you could say, well, I'm going to give the baby up for adoption. It's really that simple. It's better than killing the baby because what happens with many of these cases is that later on, after a person has an abortion, they actually go out at some point and have a child. And once you go through the process from start to finish with giving birth to a child, you realize that there was another child that you had. And all of the things you love about the child you currently see that's alive and well, you realize that you had another baby. You didn't give them a chance like you gave your second child a chance. That was somebody. That was a person. And as they grow up and develop, you realize that what would the other one have been like if I didn't terminate their life? Then you figure out, I actually would have been all right. I did not know I was going to get a job promotion. I did not know I was going to meet the man of my dreams. I could have just hung in there and did the best that I could, and God was going to take care of me. You don't want to live with that regret. So back to the Roe v. Wade thing, you know, I think that people need to slow down and stop being ridiculous. It should be a states' rights issue, because it's not like being black, right? The reason that there's federal crime and there's federal protections for people who are black, you know, regarding the hate crimes and different discrimination and stuff, because you can't control what color your skin is. You go, you're born, and you come out with certain skin. You sit in the sun long enough, you're going to be darker than you were before you got in the sun. You can't control that. That's human. That's human development and biology and melanin. God made all that stuff. You can't control it. Okay, we understand that protection. You can control whether or not you get pregnant. 99.9999% of people, you can control if you get pregnant. It's very simple. You don't involved in things that will get you pregnant, and you will never get pregnant. Okay, so I can understand why that's not a federal protection. The states should have rights to say what they want to say. And even beyond that, and I'll answer a couple more questions, I promise you. Even beyond that, Christians, no matter what the law is, Christians should not be participating in any of these things. Now, I know we're not perfect, and I know some people are Christians and they still find themselves sinning. You can always ask God for forgiveness and repent, okay? You repent. Repent don't mean ask for God for forgiveness and wait for your next opportunity to do it again so you can ask God for forgiveness. Repentance is turning away from the things that you were doing. That means if you did the wrong thing, you turn away from it. I had a child out of wedlock. I said, I will not do this again. God, forgive me. And I wasn't perfect. You know, I cutting up sometimes. But I said, I'm going to turn from my wicked ways because I want to be married and I want to do what's right by God. God blessed me with a wife and I'm married and we had a baby together. We had a baby within marriage. So the concept is that repent from your ways, ask God for forgiveness, and God will bless you.
Hello, everybody. Charlie Kirk here. Super important announcement. Look, when you swipe your credit card, you're funding liberal causes. Dozens and dozens of times a month. Every time you swipe that card, you might as well do BLM, LGBT, BLM, LGBT, Clinton Foundation. But now there's a choice. I got to know these guys. I vetted them. Check out the technology. I'm a partner with them. I'm all in. It's called COIN, C-O-I-G-N. It's a new credit card built for conservatives. I'm moving all my credit card activity under COIN. And the COIN credit card is an unlimited cashback Visa credit card that is just like every other credit card you've ever owned, with one huge exception. Every time you use the COIN card, they contribute to conservative charities that support your values. I'm using it and you should too. Remember, we have to create a parallel economy, and this is a great new option. Act now. Go to COIGN.com right now to sign up to get a conservative COIN credit card. That's COIGN.com. Join COIN and let's start spending right.
Let's see. Marcus from Gainesville. It says, I've heard it said before that life in the black community has been better under the 4 years of Trump. What is your take on that as a black man? Do you think that is true? Do you think he should run again in 2024? Sorry, y'all. I had a public school education, so my reading skills are terrible. Now, I do think that black people did do better under Donald Trump, not because I like Trump. It's because the lowest record, lower unemployment ever in history. The First Step Act, urban revitalization, all of those measures that were taken by the administration and put out into the ether, put out into legislation, were things that were positively impacting the black community. Illegal immigration was down. Crime was down. The stock market was up. I don't know if people think that black people only exist in the hood. Like, there are black people out here trying to get money, too. There's black people out here, entrepreneurs are owning businesses. So when the stock market is doing tremendous, breaking records every time you turn around, that means that black people who are in the business realm are flourishing as well. Now look at us. Look at the inflation. You tell me. Keep it real. Don't lie to yourself. You ain't got a front in front of your mom and them. Tell me, do you think you're living better in this situation under Joe Biden than under Donald Trump? Explain that to me. Okay, I already know the answer, and I'm not even a psychic. So you know what the truth is. Don't live a lie. Let me ask you this next question. I'm a black retired LAPD police officer serving 30 years, was on the streets during the Rodney King riots, and I've seen it all. Just left the force 2 years ago and moved to the free state of Florida. Thank God. Thank God for you. To relax, praise God. This is my first time listening to you, and I'm a big fan already. I appreciate that. Can't wait to hear you on your own show. I'm curious if it could just talk generally about your backstory, your time as a police officer, all of that. What is your experience like? Oh, that's great, man. Thank you so much, Glenn. I really appreciate you. Thank you for your service. And thank God that you moved out of California and moved to a place that's freer. I just left Florida like a week ago, and I was like, hey, I kind of like Florida. Not as much as Arizona, but my wife, you know, me and my wife disagree on that. She want to move to Florida. She wants to leave Arizona because she hate the heat. But I told her, baby, God called me to lead. And so I'm making executive decisions, say we're going to be here, we can visit Florida. Now, I was born and raised in Fort Worth, Texas. I grew up in a diverse background. My mom and daddy wasn't together. You could say I grew up in a hood. I articulated as growing up in and around a hood my whole life. I got family members using drugs, selling drugs, going to prison, life in prison. And I also got family members that were doing the right thing. I graduated from Paul Lawrence Dunbar High School in Fort Worth, Texas, right in the hood. We had people pulling guns on each other in the parking lot, people coming off the street in the school fighting people. But we had a tremendous sports program, which led me to being an All-American football player, and I had scholarships to any university I wanted to go to. By the way, enthralled in this degrading culture that black people typically adopt, I had a bad attitude. I got tattoos all on my arms, on my legs. I got Young Savage tattooed across my stomach. I used to have gold teeth in my mouth. I was a mess. I had a terrible attitude. You say the wrong thing to me, we probably going to square up and fight. Got to college, and that is not a good mixture with college football. So I was in the doghouse immediately, blowing up on the coaches. I could not take coaching. I could not take critique. I took everything personal. And things did not go well for me in the football realm. Fast forward, I was a tremendous athlete in college football. I ran a 4.3 and a 40. I had a 44-inch vertical leap. I literally would have outperformed every single defensive back in the 2005 NFL draft while I was a freshman coming out of high school. That you don't have to believe me. You can look up the numbers. Just look up Freak Athlete Arizona Football, and you'll see the article that they wrote about me. Things didn't go well for me. I still was in the 2010 NFL draft. Oakland Raiders promised they would draft me in the 6th or 7th round, even though I did not play in college football much at all. And they passed on me. I had a draft party. My agent told me I was going to get drafted. They passed on me, broke my heart. I'm missing the part about me getting saved, but I'll save that for y'all to watch me on my show. I'll talk about getting saved. But NFL didn't draft me. I had a young son at the time. I said, it's time to get busy. I don't care nothing about no football and my dreams. I need to be a good father and take care of my son and all. By all means necessary. Apply for the police department. Never thought about being a police officer a day in my life. Ended up doing a ride along, fell in love with it. Officer Sean Payne, he's in my book that I wrote about policing in America. He inspired me. First time in my life I saw a hero. That dude was a actual hero. And I said, I got to be like Sean Payne. I'm going to be a police officer. I served almost seven years in the police department. I'm on the SWAT team. SWAT team, field training officer. I trained at the academy. I was a spokesperson for the police department. And while I was on the police department, I began to be more political. I said, my God, these taxes are coming out and they hurt. So let me figure out who I need to vote for to pay less taxes. And I realized that I wasn't a Democrat, that we've been lied to. It's all a farce. Thank you, Barack Obama. And then all my friends pretty much helped me realize I'm a conservative, supported Donald Trump. Went to his rally, made videos, they went viral.
Did you know that if you shop at Nike, they turn around and give your hard-earned dollars to pro-abortion groups like Planned Parenthood and the Population Council? Did you know that Airbnb gave $500,000 to the Marxist Black Lives Matter organization? Your first vote is at the ballot box, but that isn't enough to defend our traditional Judeo-Christian values. Left-wing corporations are subverting our republic by taking money from conservative customers and giving it to radical organizations that support abortion, gun control, and critical race theory. You have another vote, a second vote at the checkout line, and that is where a massively important organization called Second Vote comes in. The courageous people at Second Vote are exposing corporations for how you spend your money. Second Vote is developing incredible tools and engaging the smartest minds in the country to help inform Americans' purchasing decisions. Their work is arduous, complex, and exhaustive, and it does not happen for free. Please support their work so we can defend our future from the woke Marxist mob. So here's what I want you to do. Go right now to secondvote.com and subscribe. It's just $50 per year, but if you use promo code Charlie, you get 50% off. That's 50% off the information you need to have before you make your next purchase. Join me. Go to secondvote.com and subscribe with promo code Charlie. That's secondvote.com, promo code Charlie.
some people may be wondering, why in the world is your show called The Officer Tatum? Well, I was a police officer, and everybody that has come to find out who I am know me as Officer Tatum. Literally, sometimes I think my mom is going to start calling me Officer Tatum. So I figured there's no better name for the show than to stick with that and consider myself as continuing to be the Officer Tatum, even though I'm a retired police officer. But I will always be a cop. I will always be a cop. I still sit with my back against the wall at restaurants. I still carry it. I almost got hood on y'all. I would say I carry that thing on me. I carry my gun with me wherever I go because I am interested in preserving my life and the life of other people if the opportunity presents itself. Back to the Q&A. If you want to ask a couple questions, you can send it to freedom@charliekirk.com, freedom@charliekirk.com. I want to get back to the question from the former LAPD officer, Glenn. He asked a tremendous question about my background and how I got to this point and a little bit of who I am. I spoke a little bit about my upbringing, me being an All-American football player, you know, me being in an NFL draft, joining the police department, being successful in the police department, and now I'm coming back in full circle to just talk a little bit about how I got into politics because I was raised a Democrat. When you black in America, and y'all can see it, you know, it's vote 90-some percent Democrat. There's some brainwashing going on. When you're black in America, you are told that you are a Democrat and the Republicans are racist white people. And you don't have any information to prove that differently because you're not exposed to any Republicans. You just watch the propaganda news and every chance they get to lie about a Republican or tell the truth about a Republican, exposing them as in a way in which makes them appear to be racist. That's exactly what they do. But when you become a mature man and you start having responsibilities and paying bills, I cannot see how you are liberal and you vote for Democrats. Now, my buddies were telling me on the police department, brother, you are not a Democrat. Look at your boy Barack Obama out here cutting up. And I had no defense to it. I said, oh, y'all right, man. I can't stand that dude. He's literally ruining policing in America. I don't respect anybody that does things like that. And I looked at the Republican side for the first time in my life in 2016. Donald Trump, I thought he was playing. I said, this billionaire is going to come in here, make all these politicians look bad, get him some airtime, and he's going to go back to making his money. He stayed in the race. Ben Carson was my guy. Ben Carson dropped out and endorsed Trump, and I said, oh, my God, let me figure out what's going on. Am I missing something? I went to the rally. It was amazing. I thought it was one of the greatest experiences I've ever had. Everybody in the rally was cool. Donald Trump came in like he was in a WWE, and the guy spoke to my heart, man. He spoke to everything I cared about in the United States of America. He wasn't a politician. He was keeping it 100. He wasn't scripted, reading a teleprompter and doing all that old crazy stuff. And I said, I love this guy, man. I can vote for him. Voted for Trump and realized that I was conservative. Met Candace Owens. I got so many stories about Candace Owens that is out of control, especially how we met was a crazy interesting story. And I'll tell y'all about that on my show, The Officer Tatum. But met Candace Owens. We work with Turning Point, Charlie Kirk. I'm on this show now. It's funny how things come in full circle. We used to work with Charlie Kirk at Turning Point, and now I'm subbing for his show. But met Charlie, man. We did so many tremendous things in the black community, black outreach, been to the White House multiple times. Candace Owens and I started Blexit, a nonprofit organization to help inform young black people and give them options and give them information that they're not normally getting. And now, I mean, look at how God has blessed me. I want to take the last minute and a half to just talk about God for a minute because and encourage somebody that's listening that you could trust the process. Never say no to an opportunity. I know, and I'm going to speak it right now. I know that because I subbed for Charlie, did I want to sub for Charlie? I love Charlie, but this is my free week before I start my show. And I said, man, I don't feel like doing none of this, but I said, you cannot say no to an opportunity. I have a debt or loyalty to Charlie Kirk. Charlie Kirk helped me become the man that I am, gave me opportunities. So I said, forget how I feel. I'm going to go fill in for Charlie Kirk's show, and I know that God had a purpose for this. Never say no to opportunities that are good for you. Also, trust the process. 4 years ago, I would have never imagined that I would have been taking over the Larry Elder show. He was an idol to me, and he still is. I'd have never thought I'd be in that position. Trust the process. Build yourself. Become a better person. Know that God is in control of your life. Don't worry about stuff you can't control. Just do your thing. Be yourself. God has coordinated this life for you to prosper and to do well as long as you put God first. So I want to say thank you all for listening. Catch me next week, Monday, 3 to 6, on The Officer Tatum Show. This is your host, Brandon Tatum, filling in for Charlie Kirk. I know y'all can't wait for him to get back. I love y'all. Y'all have a wonderful rest of your day. See you next time. I'm out.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.